Good morning. Beautiful day out there here in Fairhaven. I understand it's going to get a lot colder today, so keep that in mind. And it's kind of odd, right? As the day goes on, normally it gets warmer until the sun goes down, but apparently today it's going to be the opposite of that. But we'll live with it, right? We'll live with it. But it is a beautiful day out there, and hopefully you're able to enjoy it. I'm going to have Paul Craney from Mass Fiscal Alliance here at 11:30. Paul will call in. They are, in a lot of cases, our only taxpayer advocate up on Beacon Hill. They don't have a vote, but they are really good with social media, recording, hearings, hallway commentary. They'll confront legislators. They confront the governor. Mass Fiscal Alliance took over from Citizens for Limited Taxation in Government. Barbara Anderson, Chip Faulkner, Chip Ford, who did work since the 70s on behalf of the taxpayers in Massachusetts. They are the architects and the advocates of Proposition 2.5, which is the reason, the only reason, that many people in the Commonwealth can afford to own property. Without Proposition 2.5, your taxes would be insurmountable. Your auto excise tax, your property tax, never mind business taxes, forget about that. That stuff would be, the property taxes on business would be absolutely out of control. Absolutely out of control. So, Paul Craney, who's the executive director of the Massachusetts Fiscal Alliance, will be here at 11:30, talking about all the work they're doing up there. I think it's very important that those of us who can, in our own way, support Mass Fiscal. Go to their website. Donate to them if you'd like. Spread the word about what they're doing. Because there's some degree of safety in numbers, right? Anyway, 508-996-0500. Kind of open phones, what's on your mind. I'm curious the reactions to the mayor's appearance yesterday. We actually ended up leaving some people on hold during the segment. They didn't make it through. They had called. You know, if you call real early, you can get through. If you don't, then you can't, obviously. The time runs out. Want to hear about people who were at that meeting in the South End? Think that's a very interesting topic on the sewage treatment plant. Buzzards Bay, all of that stuff. 508-996-0400. But it is kind of open phones. If it's on your minds, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yes, good morning. Breaking news. Brian Walsh will not be taking the stand.
Really?
The prosecution, yes, prosecution and defense arrested this morning. He's guilty of sin anyway.
He is guilty of sin, but I wanted to see him in his moment of discomfort, right?
I wanted to see him sweat.
Yes.
Yesterday he was nervous when prosecution arrested. He was nervous. He was moving his hair all kind of places. You can see he was shaken up. Well, I put on the TV this morning, and he's not going to take the stand. So both sides rested. So the jury should have the case by this afternoon.
We should have a verdict probably later this afternoon then, maybe tomorrow, depending.
Maybe tomorrow too, yeah.
Depends on how they're feeding him, if they want to stay another day, right?
Well, they should put him through a shredder too, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's what I say.
Look, what he did to that woman. No, I agree with you. He's a monster.
That's a shame.
If that's his defense, nothing, he's a monster. Because he did it, right?
Ain't a word for him. Put him through a tree shredder. That's what I say.
Thank you for the update, my friend. I appreciate that.
You got it.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to see Brian Walsh, who spells his name wrong, by the way, sweat. I wanted to see him on that stand. That was part of the reason why I had former prosecutor, current state representative Chris Markey in here, building up to that moment. Because think about what he did to the mother of his children. Obviously, he killed her. I don't believe his story. She's suddenly dead. And then he dismantled the body. The only thing I know about dismantling a body is what I've seen in movies. It's not even real. The movie Donnie Brasco about the Bonanno crime family with Johnny Depp. That scene where they're sawing the red boot. I always thought, why didn't they just take the boot off? But they're sawing through. They're dismantling the bodies. And if you read about Roy DeMeo, he was another mob guy who took apart bodies. They'd bleed them out in the shower. I mean, just gruesome stuff to do to another human being. And Brian Walsh did all of that. I mean, his wife, at least parts of her, my understanding, ended up at CMAS, the incinerator, over there on the Rochester-Wareham line. So that's really interesting that Brian Walsh will not take the stand. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Hey, buddy, what's happening?
Matthew chapter 5.
Yes.
No eye for an eye if you want the blessings of God. Romans chapter 3. The whole world is guilty. Unless you repent, like Stephen repented, you will not overcome the wicked one and the world. You have to not follow the traditions of men, but the traditions of God. The apostles and the prophets, they all suffered, but they were chosen by God. That's the only way to overcome the wicked one. John chapter 16. There's no other way. Take a look at what the Spirit says in the seven churches in Revelation.
I appreciate this, my friend, and thanks for the call, as always. Your contribution to the program is always appreciated. What he's saying is basically, don't do what you despise, right? In other words, Brian Walsh, he's going to spend the rest of his life in a cell with rather dangerous people. But if we throw him in a wood chipper, are we any better than him, right? I think that's what he's pointing us to in the Bible. All right, 508-996-05. But it makes us sort of feel good to at least say it, right? To say it. Good morning. Thanks for holding. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Chris.
Hey. Yes, sir.
Gilly Satfield.
Hey, Gilly, what's happening?
You know, I tried to get on yesterday when you had that lady, Nikki, that called in. About the mold and everything.
Yes.
You know, really, if you listen to the poor lady, she mentioned that she called her city council. But she never mentioned who her city councilor was.
That's curious. Who was it? Do you know?
Well, I'm going to tell you in a minute.
Okay.
And the thing that I found is that she found Ian's name. You know, she didn't know him, but she found it. And when she got a hold of Ian, Ian took care of business because he always helps constituents to call in.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay, so he sent her, and look, he got her to talk to the mayor.
Yes.
But see, I've always been the kind of guy, when I accuse somebody, I say their name. She should have said who the city councilor was that didn't help her. Her exact words were, I called my city councilor, and I got no response.
Right.
Okay. But yeah, when she called Ian got right on it. You know what I mean? Would give credit where credit's due. He does get back to his constituents.
100%.
Okay. Now, you know, all the stuff that has happened, when I called Tim Schill today, he mentioned Ryan Pereira's name because it's down the south end, the street that I think. Ryan Pereira is going to be a president of the city council. And he didn't want to help if it was him. But Nick should have mentioned it. If you're going to bring it up, he should have mentioned it. I don't know. You know, that's the part that gets me. Like I mentioned about Brian Gomes this morning, public safety. Have you heard anything? Because they were complaining about the police department and everything. That the administration doesn't get back to Tim was saying. Shouldn't be Brian Gomes getting out there. He's a public safety guy. Shouldn't he? Have we heard anything about him helping the people, the constituents?
Well, we haven't heard about any real meetings of public safety in a long time. There was a real dry spell of meetings by the public safety committee chairman.
I realize that. I realize that. But you also got to remember, he was on the radio, wanted to come and clear his name back in February of this year. He never came in supported. He kept saying he was in litigation. Then we find out he went to the highest court in Boston, and the highest court found against him for the sexual harassment. Now, all of a sudden, he's quiet. He should be out there blowing the horn if the public safety guy for the administration not getting to the people, coming out there for the people. That's the part that really gets me.
Do you think Ryan will make him the public safety chairman again?
I even said, if Ryan Pereira is going to be president and makes Brian Gomes public safety, there's something wrong with this picture, because there's a dark cloud over Ryan Pereira, too. We all know that. Okay? Brian Gomes does, he always talks about, oh, I'm out there at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know,
Batman,
to the police. Where is he when his constituents need help? He should be blowing a horn that they're not doing their job. Administration. Is he doing that? Have we heard anything about Brian Gomes in the past couple of months?
Gilly, I appreciate the call and the contribution as always. It'll be very interesting to see who Ryan Pereira, who I believe will be the next city councilor, president, installs into the various chairmanships. I mean, they've got very important chairmanships there. Public safety, finance, appointments and briefings, audit. Be very interesting to see who Ryan Pereira gets in there. And look, the mayor pointed out yesterday, everything to help a constituent really has to go through the mayor's office. I thought it was a good point that the mayor made yesterday. All right, I got a bunch of people on hold. I see you there. I do want to put you on the air. Very curious what you have to say. But I do have to take a break first to tell you about shopping at Carter's. It's my go-to store, my family's go-to store. My grandfather shopped at Carter's store. Carter's Clothing has been around for 78 years. Carter's Clothing has been the South Coast's one-stop shop for clothing and footwear. And this Christmas, they're making gift-giving even easier. Carter's has the best prices on top-name brands such as Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, New Balance, and more. You got to go into the store and take a look at what they've got. They've even got very unique New Bedford items. Got to take a look at them, really. There's something for everybody at Carter's Clothing. With over 75 styles of boots, cozy flannels, hoodies, and jackets and vests that are perfect for the winter weather. Free parking is available at both locations, downtown New Bedford and on Plymouth Ave in Fall River. Gift cards are available in any denomination. Shop small, shop local this Christmas with Carter's Clothing. Visit Carter's Clothing online at cartersma.com. All right, I'm going to take a break and then we'll be back. We'll come right back to the phones when we come back. Stick around.
C South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
He go to his papa to set him a day. Now here's what to him his papa did say. You can't marry this girl. I gotta say no. This girl is your sister. Your mama don't know. Whoa. Shame and scandal in the family. Woe is me. Shame and scandal in the family.
That's the Barefoot Man. I had lunch yesterday with a guy who's very good friends with the Barefoot Man and a tour all around the Caribbean with him, actually. And that's a funny song. The Barefoot Man's Best, Volume 3. Shame and Scandal in the Family. It's a pretty funny song. All right, let's go back to the phones. We have a number of people on hold. It's kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hola, Señor McCarthy. So, I love the conversation. I love, you know, I love local politics.
Yeah.
And tis the season. It's that time of the year again where the city council president's going to be, should I dare say, elected. they're already, you know, from what I'm hearing, you know, they've already chosen. The deals have already been struck. So if that's the case, we all know that Mr. Gomes was placed back in that same public safety chair. There's no way in this God's green earth that Crying Ryan would get away with becoming city council president without placing Gomes in that seat. That would, you know, Brian would go into a tirade. You know, he has to have that seat. That's his thing. So,
but let me ask you a question, Carlos. You mean you're right? You're there all the time. You know what's going on in that council. You have good sources. Yeah. Isn't there anybody else, as an example, who would covet being the public safety chair? That would be. I mean, everybody has the same number of votes. What does Brian Gomes have? That makes him have to be the public safety chairman other than his own personal desire. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, and I'm going to keep my personal feelings about the man out of this, I truly think he's an intimidating figure, okay? He's the type of guy you really don't want to get on his bad side. You know what I mean? Sure. And, so people tend to give him what he wants. And he does not behave himself when he doesn't get that seat. We've seen it in the past. And it caused a lot of problems within the city council. It caused people to run. And then you don't have the big kumbaya, you know, which they like to have. They love to vote the president with an unanimous vote. They love to do that, which I think is, I don't know why. I mean, if you don't agree with it, you should vote against it, you know, in my opinion. And I
it happened last
like
time. Not they. Yeah. They Shane Burgo was not found by the unanimous body to be the president.
They're not being elected for the right reasons, in my opinion. You know, these wheeling and dealings, you can end up putting somebody, as in my opinion, the last city council president was a horrible choice.
Oh, it was horrible.
And it was detrimental to, you know, it was a year of less progress. It was a year of a lot of battling the administration instead of working with them. And you know I don't agree with the mayor all the time.
Right.
Nobody but it's
does.
A strong mayor situation. And he, like my dad says, he's got the bread, the butter, and the cheese. So you've got to work with him. And if you want to get anything, if you want to squeeze a little bit out of it, you got to work with this guy and know how to work with him. And unfortunately, all he did was butt heads with him. And I think we New Bedford suffered for it. I mean,
I
we got less accomplished. You know, we got less accomplished. Things probably cost more, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, Ryan, I had a lot of faith in Ryan. As you probably know, I was part of his campaign behind the scenes. I worked with him. He gave me all the dirt on Joe and all that. And, you know, I worked with him, secret meetings, you know, the whole nine yards. But the kid is flipped. He's flipped. I don't know what it is. You know, when you don't even return your constituents calls, especially a woman, you know, that's having an issue with a property and you can't be bothered to call back, and he wants to be the city council president. And I'm not saying
that he has to have the answers all the time or the solutions all the time, but at least have the courtesy, such as Ian Abel. He has been a class act with getting back to people, and at least get back to him and give him the proper channels to get something done, the proper numbers, the proper people, the proper department, whatever it is. But to totally ignore it, I mean, how fast is this kid? You know, he was the guy that called out Joe Lopes for all the things that he had become, or how lacking he had become. And now all of a sudden, here we are, a few short years later, and, you know, people are, you know, saying the same thing about him. He's not calling back. And this has been happening for a few years now, a couple of years now, because I get the messages all the time. People are upset. You know, he doesn't live on the address he says. I'm his next-door neighbor. They send me pictures. On and on and on. I don't know what's going on with this kid, but he's got a big head and a little body. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But, you know, it is the season, and the wheeling dealing's going on, and everybody's posturing, and everybody wants this and that. And to be honest with you, I'd rather accomplish something on my own than making a deal to put someone in place. And they're not prepared. I don't think the kid's prepared. He's not ready. You know, we'll see. I'd rather see Sean in there, Leo in there, Ian. And I really truly believe Mama Linda Morad is going to be controlling this kid behind the scenes. So basically, we're going to be having another year of Linda Morad as president. And that's my opinion.
Yeah.
But I appreciate your time, Chris.
Thanks, Carlos. We do appreciate it. 508-996-0500. Look, I think not getting back to constituents, in fact, that's what happened. I sort of believe that woman, Nikki, who called, obviously, she purposely didn't name the guy because a lot of people don't want to do that, right? Some people are more aggressive as callers than her. She seems pretty new to politics, and it was literally forced on her. Sounds by her landlord and sewerage problems that she was then forced into becoming a part of politics. But I do think Ryan has, I haven't always agreed with him, but I do think he's done a pretty good job in the Ordinance Committee as chairman. I would have liked to have seen him move some of the ordinances that he didn't move forward, but the fact that he understands the power of the chairmanship, even if I don't agree with what he does with it, gives me a little more confidence in him. Is that crazy? I don't think so. In other words, you have to understand what a chairman can do and what you can't do. I think Ryan has displayed that, even if by not moving things forward, like the good government ordinance to allow a recall, seems self-serving and really bad government, quite frankly. The mayor put it forward to, in fact, improve the four-year term that he supported by giving it a fire exit, an escape hatch. And the city council, under Linda Morad's power, quite frankly, and Shane Burgo as her puppet president, killed it, delayed it, saw to it that it was never enacted. And that's outrageous. Almost as outrageous as the great discounts at Shooting Supply. This holiday season, Shooting Supply has the deals that you need. Listen to this. Save $90 on Smith & Wesson 9mm Shield Easy. Now just $399. The new Sig Sauer P365 X Macro, it's in stock at Shooting Supply, right? So Santa has it in stock. Come see the latest in America's most popular handgun line, Sig Sauer. On a budget, who isn't, right? The Taurus G3C with a lifetime warranty is just $219 after the rebate. You know, I remember when Taurus wasn't even allowed in Massachusetts. Now it is. So that's a big deal. Listen to this. 500 rounds of Winchester service grade 9mm, only $119. As my father would say, why not get two boxes, right? At that price. Gift cards are available for hard-to-buy sportsmen. You do not need an FID card to buy a gift certificate at Shooting Supply. Find all the best holiday deals at Shooting Supply right on State Road 848, to be specific, State Road in Westport, or go online at shootingsupply.com. Look, I have people on hold. I see you there, but I do have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Would you like
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy, weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
You know me, I'm your native son. I'm the train they call the city of New Orleans. And I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
That's right. Good morning, America. I'm your native son, Chris McCarthy. Am I a nativist? I don't know. Some people could have accused me of that. I don't know. Tell you what I do, though, is make sure all the glass in my life is up to strength, including the windshields that I sit behind. I bring them to Citywide Glass. Citywide Glass, they'll fix your windshield for you. You know you need to get it done. They fix all glass, quite frankly. Citywide Glass, you can call them in Dartmouth, call them in Fall River, go online and make an appointment at citywideglass.net. You don't have to bring your automobile to them. They'll come right to you. Citywide Glass has a really fantastic mobile tech team. They'll come to your home, fix your windshield, come to your work parking lot and fix your windshield. They'll bill your insurance company. It won't cost you a dime. No cash out of your pocket, which is important this time of year. Get a windshield, new windshield, and keep all the money in your pocket. They'll bill your insurance company. Make an appointment today. Citywide Glass, call them in Dartmouth, call them in Fall River. Go online at citywideglass.net. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning.
Good morning, Chris McCarthy. This is your favorite Democrat. How are you today?
Good, Barry. How are you doing, my man?
I'm doing that. Chris, I'm going to try something for your listening audience. I'm going to try, I don't know if this is the first ever conference call, but I have Sean Mulvey with me on the phone. Sean, can you say hi?
Hi, Chris. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Sean Mulvey. How you doing, okay. You gentlemen? What's going on?
Doing good.
This might be the first ever conference call. And, Chris, just to start on a positive note, I'm down in Wareham, and I just saw a bald eagle flying over one of the cranberry box. So you know, and you love to see these birds on our boat.
Yes.
You know this is going to be a great day when you see an American bald eagle.
Absolutely.
So anyways, Chris, you know where you're not going to see a bald eagle? You're not going to see a bald eagle out in front of the sewage treatment plant where the overflow is, because there's no fish to be had there. But anyways, Chris, Sean and I attended recently. We attended one of the mandatory meetings that the city must hold for public input in order for the city to be able to receive any funds from the federal government for any improvements that they might want to be applying for. And you understand what I'm talking about in your listening audience, Chris?
Yes.
Okay, so Sean and I attended. And basically, I have to be honest with you, it was held down at the sewer treatment plant. And it was very disappointing for anybody that watched it, and it should be posted, but it was death by PowerPoint. That's the best way to describe it. And then what we saw, the first question, the first thing that popped up to me, you know, being the finance guy from Stonehill with a history of statistical inference, was the way that they're going to calculate the ratepayers' portion. And basically what the slide had said, and, you know, I did ask the first question here, it said that there was going to be a calculation based on a 2% cost passed on to the ratepayers, based upon the average mean income of the city of New Bedford.
Right.
So, you know, what my question was, was, I even asked the guy, do you want to take a swing at what the average mean income is? And, you know, everybody laughed because he didn't know what that was. If you're gonna tell us it's 2%, don't you think it's a simple calculation? Two linear equation values have to be placed, the 2% plus the average mean income. Pretty standard, right, Chris?
Right. Yeah. What is the average income?
Blank if I know, right?
Okay, right. But, I don't know either.
Again, you know, that's like asking Sean, that's like asking Shane, Denista. I asked him two questions. Can he tell us how much state income tax the city of New Bedford produces back to the state? Didn't know it. 2 months later, couldn't get me the number. And what's these are economic barometers and indicators. What's the unemployment rate in New Bedford?
Right.
How do these officials not know this? But anyways, I digress. So then I, you know, after death by PowerPoint, so I walked up to the, you know, the city's desk, and they had a handout. And the handout basically asked anybody that was there, you could give your information so that way the city could contact you.
Sign up sheet.
So I walked up to it, and I started to photograph it with my phone. And Justin Chica, who was in charge by the city, and this is, you know, these are where the city officials were, he came up to me and said that I couldn't do that because there was sensitive information. And I explained to Mr. Chica, you know, maybe because I held how many open meetings, zoning chair, zoning board of appeals. And I told him it's an open meeting law. It's open meeting. So, yeah, I took pictures, right? So now he continued to control the narrative, but, you know, one of your callers, Jeff Rogers, had, I was so impressed with the people.
There was
and
a lot
questions.
Of impressive people there that night. Very impressive.
Well-rehearsed, well-prepared, well-researched.
I mean, I had things I had to say, and then boom, it just came out. It just flowed right after. Because in the beginning, they already had the guidelines down. They said, this is a public meeting. This is for the whole city. So just not for the sewage treatment plant, the whole city. So in my mind was saying, well, if it was for the whole city, why did you have it at the treatment plant way down in Ward 6? So that's why Ward 6 was very well represented down there. If it was for the whole city, I would think 1, 2, and 3 would be involved too. We could have had it at Keith. But anyways, they had it.
Yeah, and Chris, yes. And what's more, it was, I think by design, was when the chief of police was in appointments and briefings. So not one city councilor could be there, but both Ian Abreu and Ryan Pereira had letters read in, to, you know, as part of the public hearing. And I know that Tony Cabral was on the Zoom. But so anyways, very, very good exchange. And I hope that, and Ian Abreu told me that he is requesting a copy of this meeting. But then, you know, I had requested in writing that the director of the Board of Health, the commissioner, Stephanie Sloan, be there. She was away on a junket, and she sent two of her, you know, I don't even want to say it. Okay. So what happened was, you know, and Chris, we're trying to give you a quick rundown. And,
sure.
And if you want us, my Sean and myself, to go on the radio and follow this up, we can do that. But I had asked, you know, the question because many of the slides said public health. You know, hey, let's face it, it's a treatment plant, right? So many of the slides, they talked about cost, they talked about, you know, these different projects that they're already doing. Some of them should have been done 20 years ago, but, you know, they're still trying to conform. And you know as well as I do, Chris, we're not going to get any money because I don't think Donald Trump is going to give, our constituents from, Keating's on down anything. We're not going to get anything. But yet they're going to continue to apply, and they have to conform with these open meetings. So then my next question, go ahead.
Well, I was disappointed on, I know you're talking about Barry, but I was disappointed from the start. Right from the start, they laid down the law. They were doing their dog and pony show. They didn't have any handouts of the slideshow. So you couldn't read. You couldn't see anything on it. I mean, I couldn't see anything. It was like a blur to me. But the gist of it was that they had to do this so they could satisfy the next step to get funding. So they had to be there. They didn't want to be there. They had to be there. So I even asked about the handouts, and they said, we don't do that. I said, okay, all right, fine. So where can we find it? Well, we're going to put it on the website. It's not up there yet. So I've been perusing the website. I've been, since about an hour now, I've been looking and looking. I found something that very similar to what was last that night. It's called the Executive Summary, and it says reduced size PDF. Now, I'm assuming that is part of what they had, because they had the Justin Chicka was there, they had the city engineer Sean Sid, the PE, and then they had the project manager, which is Scott Craig, CD Smith, the project manager. So they were doing, you know, they did their little spiel. They went from one to the other, and from what Barry was saying, Barry was asking the question about the 2%, because that came up, and the guy, Scott Craig, looked like he had deer in the headlights. He couldn't really answer that. And then from what the meeting was going on, and they kept on saying, well, this has got nothing to do with the treatment plant. And I'm like, what do you mean? We're all here from Ward 6. We're very concerned about the treatment plant. So they were talking about the citywide thing, okay, about a two-pipe. They're doing 60-40. They got two pipes going on right now in the heart of the city, and they're working this way. It seems like they're working this way south. All right? So they have two pipes going on in somewhere else in the city, but it comes down to one pipe, which is the problem down in the south end. It's dumping out in the bay. And if it gets too much, it's dumping out in the cove in the harbor site. So what's going to happen? Then they were talking about it's going to be a 10 to 20-year look on this. I'll be dead by then, by the time this gets solved. And the harbor and the cove is going to be even worse. So we had Rick Trapello there. I talked to him before the meeting, and we had like-minded conversation. And he came up with that guy was intelligent. He came up, and he had facts even toward Providence, Pawtucket, and Fall River. So he had a good cross-section of different type of designs for a storage tank that would solve the problem quickly. They said, no, that's too expensive. Well, what is the expense? I mean, I would think they're putting the cart before the horse here. Let's put a storage tank first and get these outflow pipes into the storage tank, and then start mitigating everything down from the city that way. Maybe start from Ward 6 and work north. You know, I mean, I'm not an engineer. I don't know. We've got a lot of old pipes in the city. I understand that. They're over 100 years old, and blah, blah, blah. But you got to start somewhere. They just seem like they just threw their hands up and said, oh, that's not going to happen. All right?
Yeah. So, Chris, I don't know how much time we got.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, we could talk for an hour on this, yeah, and I think this is going to be one of your top stories, Chris. We got a couple more minutes.
I got to take a break, Barry, but I do appreciate it. And what I'll do is I'll talk with you about getting you guys in here, because I'm very interested in this story. I know most people are really interested in this story, whether you live in the city or you just enjoy the bay the way you and I do, Barry.
Well, all I got to say is we got a good coalition going on down here, and I want to be part of it. There's a lot of smart people down here. They had a lot of intelligent questions.
Chris, I just want to say one last thing. So basically, they have these fans that they put down there, and the fans are huge, and they're spraying like an aerosol. So they are, and you had a conversation with Sean, that they are masking and covering the smell. But here's the interesting point. Ian Abreu told me this, and anybody that wants, I'll give you my number, or you can call Councilor Abreu, we did a walkabout with the DEP, along with Representative Tony Cabral in his office. But we have a huge amount of people getting sick down there. So what they're doing is they're not only putting this cover scent up in the air, but they're fanning it. So when Ian Abreu's down there with his children at the playground, and people are going down there to exercise, or me just living there, they're pumping these forever.
I got to go, Barry. Thank you, Barry. I got to go. I got to take a break. We'll be right back.